Well, good morning, everyone. You don't know how fortunate you are that I'm actually here, because if our dreams came true, I wouldn't have been. Well, not till about 10 to 12. So I had this really bizarre dream last night, which I'm not looking for any particular spiritual significance in. If some of you have got any interpretation, you know, by all means. But in this dream, I went along to the Marlowe congregation this morning. And under the sincere apprehension that I was going to be leading worship there, and when I got there, a younger person was leading worship, who I thought was just going to be assisting me. But I kind of, in my dream, sort of thought, well, that's good. They obviously think that they're leading it. That'll be good for them. You know, I'm quite happy to take a step back and for them to lead. And it got sort of halfway through the worship time. And I mentioned that to somebody and they said, no, I thought you were supposed to be leading worship and speaking in Slough this morning. Whereupon I then dashed over here and got here just in time for about 10 to 12. So I'm quite pleased to be here actually from the beginning. So, yeah. Bizarre things that happen in our head. Ephesians chapter 3 verse 20 says this. It's not going to be the main verse we're going to look at, but Ephesians 3:20 says, now to him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that works in us, to him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus to all generations forever and ever. Amen. He is able to do exceedingly, abundantly, beyond or above all that we ask or even think. Are we convinced of that fact? I mean, let's just kind of take a bit of a reality check here for a moment. Here we are. 20-ish. 25 adults in a school hall with it drizzling outside. And yet, he is able to do exceedingly, abundantly, beyond all that we can ever ask or even think. And that's truth. That's truth. So no, it's not ridiculous to pray for our nation. No, it's not ridiculous that we would pray for laws to be changed, for politicians' hearts to be changed, because he is able to do exceedingly, abundantly, beyond all that we ask or think. And no, it's not ridiculous to come and sit with 24 other people in a school hall and pray our prayers and think, if only this was true in my life, in God. It's not ridiculous, because he is able to do exceedingly, abundantly, beyond all that we can ask or think. It's not ridiculous to stand and sing our songs, all three of them in 45 minutes. That's getting on for a record, Paul. That's pretty good. And just open ourselves to what God wants to do with us. And believe that we are standing in the presence of Almighty God, because he is able to do exceedingly, abundantly, beyond our wildest imagination. My paraphrase, I think that's kind of what it means. And that means you. Yeah, particularly the people who just looked up then. That means you. Let's look at what I want to do today is is just look at this passage, particularly focus on the last verse. It's very well known. And let's just see how this applies to us. I want to issue a bit of a challenge this morning, as well as an encouragement. I want to remind us of God's promise to us. So let's read. Acts chapter 1, verse 1. The former account I made, O Theophilus, of all that Jesus began to do and teach. By the way, former account is Luke's gospel. This is Dr. Luke writing part 2 of his 2-part account of the work of Jesus. Part 1, the work of Jesus when he's walking around on earth. Part 2, mostly, apart from pretty much these verses, the work of Jesus after that. And it is an orderly account. It starts, beginning of Luke, in a setting in the temple. And it starts completely wrapped up in the paraphernalia and customs and laws of the Jewish faith. And by the end, that's at the beginning of part one, and by the end of part two, it's gone exceedingly abundantly beyond all that they could ever ask or think, because we're at the center of the Gentile world in Rome with Paul. That's exceedingly beyond all that they could ever ask or think. So that's what the story that Luke tells us, the former account of all Jesus began to do and teach, until the day in which he was taken up, after he, through the Holy Spirit, had given commandments to the apostles whom he had chosen, to whom also he also presented himself alive after his suffering by many infallible proofs. That's a great phrase, isn't it? No question in Luke's mind. No question at all. Many infallible proofs, being seen by them during 40 days and speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God. Now, I know that when we celebrate Easter, you know, it kind of floats around, and I'm not sort of making a big case for this being exactly that 40-day period, but symbolically, we are in that 40-day period now, aren't we? Easter was 3 weeks ago, 4 weeks ago, something like that. We are in that 40-day period. And I just find it fascinating, this little throwaway comment from Luke, almost, that Jesus, during this 40-day period, prepared his disciples. Yes, he's been with them for 3 years-ish, we think. But during this 40-day period, it was like he gave them an intensive crash course, intensive kind of Bible school. He took them through what the kingdom of God was really all about. I'm sure he reminded them. I'm sure he referred back. Do you remember when we were in Capernaum and I did this and you didn't understand it? Well, this is what that meant. Do you remember this when I said this to so-and-so and this to this person? And do you remember when I healed this person? And if you're going to be doing this stuff, you know, what can you learn? And all of this, 40 days of intense activity and learning with Jesus. 40 days of increasing their understanding. I would have loved to have been in that Bible school, wouldn't you? Wouldn't that have been an amazing experience? So it's one of the reasons, by the way, why I am such a firm believer in church. Because at the end of this intensive 40-day period, with Jesus teaching them about the kingdom of God, what did they go and do? They went and started church, pretty much. So when people tell you, oh, well, of course, Jesus didn't really talk about church. That's just something that happened afterwards, and we shouldn't really be, you know, it's about the kingdom of God. It's not about church. And so these guys, 40 days of intensive Bible school with Jesus, at the end of which they turn around and do something completely different? Come on. And being assembled together with them, he commanded them not to depart from Jerusalem, but to wait for the promise of the Father, which he said, you have heard from me. For John truly baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now. Remember, Jesus had told them, it's better that I go away so the Holy Spirit can come. John's Gospel. I've just said I would have loved to have been in that 40-day Bible school, and I would. But Jesus actually says to us, do you know it's better that I've gone away? And we can think all our like, you know, wouldn't it be lovely to have Jesus in person walking along by the side of us? And I'm sure it would be, but Jesus' words are, it's better I go away so the Holy Spirit can come. That kind of still blows my mind somewhat, but it's what Jesus said. Therefore, when they had come together, they asked him, saying, Lord, will you at this time restore the kingdom to Israel? 3 years. And then 40 days of intensive activity, and they're still asking dumb questions. But I'm sure I would have done as well. And he said to them, it's not for you to know times or seasons which the Father has put in his own authority, but you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the end of the earth. Father, I just want to ask that as we meditate for a few minutes on these words, particularly this verse, Lord, just would you breathe new life into it for us, breathe new life into it for me, breathe new life into it for each one of us. Lord, would you speak to us exactly the words that you want to speak to each one of us individually as well as together this morning. Amen. Next slide, please, Tom. It's about presence. You shall receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. Now, I know I'm preaching, I guess, pretty much to the converted here, but let's just open our hearts afresh to what God wants to say to us about the significance of this phrase. You will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. Jesus has spent 3 years with them, coaching them, discipling them is the biblical word, but coaching them, apprenticing them, teaching them, befriending them. He spent 40 days giving them an intensive crash course in their understanding of the kingdom of God. Now, from that, I draw that understanding is a good thing. Understanding is a good thing. It is good for us to have, in as much as we can, a good understanding of what God's word says, a good understanding of what the kingdom of God is about, a good understanding of what church is about, a good understanding of what scripture says. All those things are good. It is, in my opinion, on this reading, it's not enough to just kind of say, well, you know, I'm you know, not really too much into this whole understanding bit, and you know, I'll just rely on the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. Because Jesus knew they were going to be filled with the Holy Spirit, and still he spent this 40-day period with them, increasing their understanding. Yeah? But it's not supposed to just be about understanding. Jesus takes them through this 40-day period, and at the end of that, kind of says, now that's good. Remember that stuff. I've not just been marking time. You know, just to kind of underline that. Why 40 days? I mean, I know there's the whole kind of significance of 40 in the Bible and all the rest of it, but why 40 days? Why not just be raised from the dead? Show yourself to your friends. Show yourself to all the people it lists in 1 Corinthians 15. you know, kind of make it pretty established that you're there, and then go and be with the Father, and the Holy Spirit can come. 20 days, 21, I don't know, 15 days. 40 days is quite a long time. Why 40 days? Because he needed that long to take them through this stuff. So he's put that in, and yet that wasn't enough. That wasn't enough for what was planned. You will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. It's a bit like, I think, going to the travel agent, but that's a little bit old-fashioned, isn't it? Going online and going onto our holiday site and downloading. But let's say, go to the travel agent, and because then you get nice glossy brochures. And you get the glossy brochure, and you spend hours at home poring over the glossy brochure. And you memorize every word of the glossy brochure. You could tell anyone about that resort. All there was to know about that resort. You could tell them how many units of accommodation there were. You could tell them how long it takes to get to the beach. You could tell them how many restaurants there are in the surrounding area. You could tell them what the average, if you go a bit more research, you could probably tell them what the average climate is in that area, how likely it is that you're going to have sunshine, what the kind of rate of exchange is, what good value it is in terms of what you can. You could tell people everything about that. One problem, all you've done is look at the brochure. You've not actually been there. Understanding can be a little bit like that in terms of the kingdom of God. We can internalize all this information. We can have a fantastic aspirational view of what it would be like to be there. We could maybe answer our mastermind round on it. But there is a small problem if you never actually go, because all you've got is the understanding bit. And actually, in terms of the kingdom of God, it's not even really enough to be a tourist. Because we can do that by turning up here every week between the hours of 10:30 and 12:30 when we've had our coffee. And we can be tourists in the kingdom of God. We can even experience stuff of the kingdom of God. We can pray for the sick, and we can experience healing, and we can pray for our nation, and we can worship God and be in his presence. But if we're not careful, that can just be tourism. We're actually supposed to live there. We're actually supposed to live there. And the way of living there is, I believe, you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. And as we say here in River, that is about the presence of God in our life. My little man has got his hands raised. That's a kind of a symbolic thing. But we don't necessarily go around day by day with our hands in the air. But it is about walking day by day in that awareness of the presence of God with us and the power of God with us, wherever we are. We'll just kind of think about the wherever we are again in a few minutes. So it's about presence. It is also, thank you, Tom, about people. All sorts of people. Young people, older people, different races. It's about all sorts of people. It's about, well, it kind of says it here, doesn't it? Who's going to receive power? You. You will receive power. Whoever you are. Now, and yeah, I know Jesus is actually talking to his disciples, but they were all sorts of people actually as well. They were all sorts of people. And I know you have probably heard me say this general point more than once, unless you've only known me 2 weeks. In which case, I'll preach to you. that you, you know, even when he was talking to his disciples, was a pretty ragbag bunch, wasn't it, really? The you he was talking to is the same people who have just asked him, is this about restoring the kingdom to Israel? After 3 years and 40 days. It's the same you who, when he says in Matthew 16, beware of the leaven of the scribes and Pharisees, then have a bit of a dispute or a bit of a worry because they think he's cross because they've forgotten the sandwiches. Look it up. Which is why, a few verses later, when Peter says, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God, Jesus' reply to him is, you didn't work that one out for yourself, Peter. Because he understood Peter and the rest of them. It's the same you that early in Luke's gospel, some of you heard me say this the other day, early in Luke's gospel, they're all walking down the road with Jesus and joining hands and singing Kumbaya, except they're not. They're arguing about who's going to be greatest in the kingdom of God. So, of course, they learn that lesson. Jesus kind of tells them that it's not all about that. And they've learned that lesson, of course, except about 15 chapters later, they're doing exactly the same thing in Luke's gospel. Exactly the same thing. They're arguing about who's going to be the greatest. It's that you. So if it's true for that you, ... how is it that we disqualify ourselves? And I know we wouldn't theologically disqualify ourselves, and I know we wouldn't kind of say that. I know, I doubt whether many of us, or any of us even, would kind of say, well, no, that verse does not apply to me. You wouldn't say that. I wouldn't say that. But in my everyday life, do I say that? By disqualifying myself for what I think God might want to do in me. Well, and it comes like this, doesn't it? It comes, for me anyway, it's, well, you could pray for that person. Well, it might offend them. I'm not saying that's never a possibility. I'm just saying it's when I make excuses and disqualify myself. You know, I wouldn't be able to articulate that very well. I wouldn't be able to pray that very well. I wouldn't be able to do that very well. I wouldn't be all of that disqualification. Or is that just me? Oh, good. Well, not good really, but good that it's worth saying then. You will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. Young, old, different races, different backgrounds, different abilities, different gift sets, different levels of education, different levels of experience of church, different lengths of time walking with Jesus, I will receive power. You see, before I just go on to the last point, it seems to me that in this 40-day period, Jesus was lighting a fuse. And that fuse burnt. 20 days, 23 days, 29 days, fuse still burning, 31 days, 37 days, 39 days, bang. Then there's the launch pad. And I just want to lay out for you, and I don't want to restrain it to, you know, necessarily this 40-day period, but we are in a period between Easter and Launchpad. I just want to encourage you this morning. Is there a fuse that God wants to light in your life towards a new expression of this you will receive power? Is there a disqualification he wants to rub out once and for all? Is there some understanding that you're going to gain during this time, which then combined with a fresh understanding of what it is to be clothed in power could launch you? There's a song I'm going to play in a few minutes by Godfrey Birtle. And it's got what I consider to be some really, really profound words in the chorus. The chorus, part of the chorus says, "You are the people you've been waiting for. You are the people you've been waiting for." And if I can just personalize it to this group of people, some of you have prayed for this area for a very long time. Through all sorts of circumstances. As part of this congregation and as part of other congregations. You are the people you've been waiting for. I mean it. You will receive power. Because there is stuff for us to do. Last slide, please, Tom. It's about presence. And that presence isn't just for other people. It's not just for the people we read about in books. It's not just for the people who find it easier to get up the front and talk a lot. It's for you, because there's stuff to do. And this verse is a verse of two promises. And I, at least, have often read it as a verse of one promise and one command. But actually, it's a verse of two promises. You will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. And promise number two is, you will be my witnesses. Now, because sometimes we've had that kind of slightly distorted, twisted view of God, the hard taskmaster, kind of ushering us out with a stick. I don't know if this is true. I must look this up sometime. But I did once hear that on the bio tapestry, there's one of the bits of writing says, "Harold comforting his troops." Have you heard this? And the picture above is Harold with a pitchfork thing, kind of poking the troops to go forward. And some of us think God's a bit like that. Yeah, he's a comforting God. He's going to jab me up the bottom with a to get me to do what I'm supposed to be doing. And so we read this verse, and it's, you will receive power, and then you can go and do the stuff you don't really want to do. Well, again, is that just me? But it's a verse with two promises. You will receive power, and you know what? Because of that, you will be my witnesses. Wherever you go. And that's going to start where you are in Jerusalem. That's going to spread into the surrounding area, Judea and Samaria. And do you know what? Even though you can't even imagine how it's going to happen, it's going to be true to the ends of the earth. You are the people you've been waiting for. You shall receive power. You shall be my witnesses. The ones who can represent Jesus. We are the ones called to, if you were here for the joint meeting here a few weeks ago. We are those who have been given this amazing authority of binding and loosing, which is so much more than us just kind of marching around rooms and waving flags, good though that is, and singing our songs in E minor. It is about what we allow and don't allow in the name of Jesus. It is about praying for our nation. But as well, in our everyday life, we will be, Jesus says, his witnesses wherever we go. Starting where we are, also with a bit more influence, even to the ends of the earth. So, I want us to do something this morning, and if you have a pen, and any sort of paper, or a PDA, yes, Paul, you can use that. this isn't a command, you know, if you don't want to write anything down, don't. But in my humble experience, the choice is write it down or write it off. So I'm just going to play Godfrey's track, starting with the chorus, "You are the people you've been waiting for." And I just want us to open our hearts to the Holy Spirit, to Father, for him to speak to us about our Jerusalem, our Judea and Samaria, maybe even our end of the earth. But please hear me, this is not, and now you've heard the good news, but now here's the bad news. Here's the stuff you're going to have to do. Yeah, that there is responsibility with this stuff. But I, this morning, want us to open our hearts to what does Father want to say to us, which is a promise of where we're going to be his witness. Maybe even this week. Or maybe it's, yeah, there is some stuff you need to do in my heart. There is this fuse that is burning. But I believe that fuse isn't endless. There's going to be a launch. And then, Lord, what is it? Where is my Jerusalem? Where is my Judea and Samaria? Is there an end of the earth bit for this? It's great to see Tom back from the ends of the earth, isn't it? You're going to hear, I think, next week, a little bit more about that. But, you know, not just Tom. Not just China. Don't disqualify yourself. So, let's play the track. Let's pray. Father, just pray you would speak to our hearts now. I'm not going to ask you to share this, by the way. This is for you and Father. And then if you want to share it with somebody else, that might be good, but I'm not going to ask us to sort of stand up. We're going to move into communion in just a moment. But what has Father got to say?
Now I will arise, says the Lord, I will set you in the safety for which you are.
Receive it as you sing it.
Now I will arise, says the Lord, I will set you in the safety for which you are. Now I will arise, says the Lord. Now I will arise, says the Lord.
Receive it as you sing it.
Now I'll balance body over. Put on your holy armor. Cast off the works of darkness. And clothe yourself with Jesus. Now the dawn is now awakening. Come see what God is doing. Here is the day you've longed for. You are the people you've been waiting 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 for. Now I will arise as the Lord God will set you in the safety for.
Hand back over and we're going to go into communion. I just believe for one or two of us even, as we take communion, the Lord just wants to clothe us with power afresh. Just have our hearts open to be filled afresh with the Holy Spirit this morning. To know His presence. For some of us, it's not that He's not with us, but it's not that He's not with us already, but I believe there is a clothing with power still to come. And there's just some stuff that the Lord's doing in your heart that's leading up to that. But for some of us, as we take bread and wine this morning, there's a fresh filling of the Holy Spirit, a fresh clothing with power to equip us for our Jerusalem, our Judea and Samaria, and our end of the earth.